Welcome to this special video edition of House Calls for Healthcare Professionals. I'm Dr. Bill Krauts, Worldwide Health Director for the Microsoft Corporation in Redmond, Washington. You know, as clinicians, it's so challenging to keep up with the medical literature. I think all the more reason for the need for computers and software to help us. I mean, the human brain just cannot comprehend, let alone keep up with the vast amounts of medical data that's out there. That's why it's my pleasure today to have a very special guest here in the studio, Dr. Joel Robertson of Robertson Research Institute. Joel, welcome.
Thanks,
to the program. You know, you and I met about 4 or 5 years ago. You are the chairman and CEO of Robertson Research Institute, and you've developed some really compelling software to help physicians better diagnose patients and improve the quality and safety of care. Before we get into the demo of the software, one of the things I just loved is you told me about how this whole initiative came about, and it really came about because of a friend's experience in an American hospital emergency room.
Absolutely. You know, I started 20 years ago with trying to be able to get information in the hands of physicians, and in those days it was flipping through a notebook.
Yeah.
And I received a call from a friend who is in a very large university setting, and he said that his son had died after receiving, you know, the greatest of care, all the specialists
sure.
and everything, and he was just confused as to what happened. And he asked me to go over the records, and I went through the records, you know, and you have just pages and pages. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, I called and I said, "Here's what I think's going on."
And there was a medical error.
And there was a medical error, and it's actually, I don't know if I'd call it a medical error or an oversight of information that couldn't have been known at the time.
Okay, fair.
And so, you know, basically we sat down and I said, "This is what I think happened." And he said, "Okay." And he's a very influential man. He sat down with the physicians that cared for his son. And he said, "Well, you know, my friend said this is what happened." And they're kind of like, "Don't agree."
And as I recall, the story went something like this, that he said, you know, in this age with computers and software, shouldn't there be a better way?
Absolutely.
And you said, "Yeah, there could be." And he said, "Well, what would it take?"
And
you gave him a number, and he wrote out a check.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. And we made the, you know, and we sat down and we said what we needed to do was to be able to take to that group of people, physicians or whatever, all the dynamics that are, what I say, one more question diagnosis. These guys treated textbook, and they treated it well. But this was not a textbook diagnosis. This was an exception, one of those 1 out of 2 million.
Right.
And how do you get to that? And that was one of the things, and we said, you know, there were three things we needed to know. Could technology do it? How do you get the vast amount of knowledge in? And third, does anyone want it?
And this, of course, happened in America, very well-trained physicians.
Absolutely.
And you also got to thinking about the challenges of emerging and developing nations where we have people out in the field who are much less trained, and also their need to have tools to better treat patients they might encounter.
Absolutely. It's kind of the same piece of information. We came with the premise of, what if I don't know enough to ask the next question?
Okay, so a lot has happened in the 4 or 5 years since we met. You've developed very robust software. You've used a lot of Microsoft technologies
Absolutely.
In developing that software. It works on tablet PCs and other kinds of devices. And you are now doing extensive pilots around the world in India. And a little later we'll be talking to some of the Indian physicians who've been involved in that initiative and also your medical director. But before we do that, let's take this for a little bit of a test drive.
Okay.
So
Absolutely.
Show me how it works.
What you've got is a cover page, because there's actually three different elements in this software. You have a patient management system. You have a EHR system that works very well in third world countries. You know, they don't have HIPAA and things of that
sure.
nature. And then you also have a reference guide. So if you look at this software, and let's just go to this particular person here, and you say, okay, here is an individual that we would like to be able to we're going to assume this is a rural health worker.
Sure.
1 year of education. And they want to go create a visit. The person comes in, and as you notice, there was a picture, which we'd never do in the U.S., but there's not a HIPAA compliance necessary. So the first thing you do is you say, we have a chief complaint. Now, the person using this software, again, 1 year of education, and they say, well, I know that we have abdominal pain. And then you come right into the issue of saying, where is it? So let's say it's all over the abdomen. It started suddenly. It was crampy. And then we can move down. And what the software will do is to begin to say, here's a few more questions that go with abdominal pain. And they'll say, well, I think that there's diarrhea. I noticed that. There's fever. And there's chills. And the person has fatigue. It's all they know. So now you hit diagnose. What happens is we have two engines running. We have a probability and we have a possibility. So what's very important is, you know, as we always talk about, when your hoofbeats, look for the horse, but it could
yeah,
be a zebra.
Yeah.
So what you've got here is here's a probability of diagnosis and a confidence level and a possibility of diagnosis. And then over here you have some things that are questions that are differentiating the top 10 diagnoses. So this person looks at these and says, oh, well, I know that the fever is intermittent. I know that the chills are severe. Now when they go to update the diagnosis, you notice possibility was malaria, probability is malaria, and you got it.
And is this also matched to area of the world in which
yes.
the software is being used? It,
actually, what you look at, obviously, is prevalences. And what we're showing you now is actually the one that's being used extensively in India. And malaria probably wouldn't have come up as quickly in the U.S. But that's what comes up, and it's regional. Oriented. So we have it in Africa, we have it in the Dominican, we have it in India, and each of them have to be language culture specific. Once I get to a diagnosis, and let's say I now know that it's malaria, I select it, I have options. Do I want to treat the patient? If I want to treat the patient, up comes not only treatment, but it also on the end is you are going to have prevention and patient education.
All in one place.
All in one place. You got it right there. You've got it. You're ready to go. I can also go back, and I might want to print my report. And I think what's really kind of fascinating about this is there in one page is all of my evidence that was entered, the diagnosis, who made the diagnosis, and you've got it right there. So that's one use, which is kind of the rural healthcare sort of thing. And let's look at another dynamic. And I can save that, and I can go back, and I
sure.
can write notes in it, and all of that sort of thing. But let's look at a situation where one of the things that we found, we were just making a diagnostic software. And everyone kept coming and saying, you know, the EHR system that everybody's trying to implement is worthless.
Yes.
And all we have are pieces of paper that we write things on. And every time the person comes back, we rewrite something, but we don't have a history. So we actually, this was developed by physicians in developing countries. You can go to our electronic health record, and you have your normal demographics that you can enter. When you get to medical history, across the top are region-specific most common diseases that exist. Mm-hmm. You can get any of the diseases that you want, and all you have to do is say, I personally have that, or my family has that, and it adds to your medical records.
So your actually original intent was to create this diagnostic software, but as you've moved forward, I mean, it has turned into a very appropriate kind of light electronic record, particularly for those emerging or developing nations.
Absolutely.
Where these big, bloated, and very expensive systems just are not.
They just don't work, and they won't be used. And now add to that, we have all the epidemiology statistical gathering, and within the next couple of months, it will be real time.
And tell me, you've done some really interesting work that really has looked at how accurate this is
yes.
compared to other modalities.
Yeah, we actually, one of the things that we said is in order to really be universally used, it needs a couple of features. One, it needs to be easy to use, and that we passed with flying color. Second is it obviously has to be accurate. So what we did is we used independent studies, research, went in and did some studies where patients would come in and see a physician, and they would make a diagnosis with pen and paper, and then that person would go with next opinion, and then they'd go to a specialist, such as GI, and then we'd match the comparison. And what we found was that next opinion makes a GI physician, or a non-GI physician, better at diagnosing GI. We also then compared the accuracy, which we continuously do, textbook diagnosis, and we compared against all other diagnostic softwares. And we are very, very comfortable to say, put up anybody else's software, because there's a couple of things that we do that are very, very different. One is you can put in a headache or cephalgia or whatever. It won't duplicate that. It's smart enough to know, regardless of what I call it. It also, if you don't know how to spell it,
yeah, sure,
it knows how to interpret it. And many of those don't know how to do that. because of the probability and possibility, we found that it takes less time. It takes 3 to 5 minutes for a consumer, for example, to get to a diagnosis, where it might take them 19 minutes in other programs. And the accuracy has far, we haven't ever not substantially done better than others. So we've done many, many different ways to make sure that helps. And you know, obviously, we've worked a lot with Microsoft Research. And Dr. Heckerman has been involved with a great mind with helping to design the knowledge and the engine.
The engine behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
User interface kinds
that's
of
where,
things.
You know, Microsoft's been phenomenally helpful for us in the user interface and all of that. And now, again, we're on our final step, which is gathering up all of the cool epidemiology. We, in this software, can do all the national programs like tuberculosis, malaria, and all of those, and gather it up and instantly available. So we really see the use, not only consumer emerging. We've met with certain large healthcare that say, whoa, you can predict if a test adds more validity to a diagnosis or not.
Right.
Lots of cool things that it can do.
Okay, that's what you say. You're the chairman and CEO. But let's go to the field now, and I'm going to bring in some very special guests who are coming to us live via Microsoft Office Live meeting. We have two special guests from India and also the medical director from Next Opinion. Let's take a look. It's my pleasure to bring on to the program here two distinguished physicians from India. First, we have Dr. M.U.R. Naidu, who is the head of the Nizam Institute of Medical Science in Hyderabad, India, where he also serves as professor and head of the Department of Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics. Dr. Naidu, welcome. And also, we have Dr. D. Prasada Rao. He's a cardiothoracic surgeon who serves as director of the Nizam's Institute of Medical Sciences in Hyderabad. And he is also joining us. Both these physicians have experience with Next Opinion. And Dr. Rao, if I may start with you. Dr. Rao, what I'm wondering is, I know that you've started some studies out in the field using Next Opinion software, and you have a lot of experience in rural health. Tell me a little bit about how those pilots are going and the value that you see from using Next Opinion software out in the field.
Greetings to you from Nizam's Institute of Medical Sciences, Hyderabad, India. In fact, we completed the first phase of the clinical study on 200 patients. This was actually done by the physicians. We found that the physicians, the ability of the physicians to add value to their diagnostic capabilities, and also they were so user-friendly that the people were thinking that they were very good software for the advancement of medicine. After completing the 200 patients done by the physicians, we moved on to the rural population in an area where the patients were seen by non-physician health workers. The present study is going to be started. And then we just started the pilot work on that one. It is adding to the diagnostic capabilities of the rural health workers. The patients are extremely happy with the diagnostic capabilities. And I think this is going to change the way the rural medicine is going to be practiced in this part of the world. Hopefully, we will be able to complete this project soon.
Dr. Rao, as you know, it's hard enough for physicians who are extremely well-trained to keep up with the medical literature. Do you feel, as I do, that the time has come for the use of this kind of software very broadly in clinical medicine to improve the safety and quality of care?
Yes, I agree with that point. Definitely, it is not possible for any physician to keep up with what is happening in the medical specialties. I may be a cardiac surgeon, but I may not be knowing what the patient is suffering from in other specialty. I may not be knowing what is happening in my specialty also. Considering all those things, the ability of the software to give us the diagnosis, to give us the management protocols, to give us what we have to do, is going to be extremely useful to the physician population, both in developing countries and probably in the developed countries as well.
Thank you, Dr. Rao. Let's turn the phone over to Dr. Naidu now. Thank you for joining us on the program today. And Dr. Robertson has been telling me that you have a great deal of experience as a physician leader in your country, and also that you have some insight to how well both physicians and other clinicians will adapt to the use of software like Next Opinion. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, greeting from my institution. As Mr. Robertson has told that we were actually interested to see that how this particular software will be helpful to our physician. And as our director told that we have done a pilot study in our institution, which is a tertiary care hospital. And the first part of the NX opinion was mostly meant for the GI diseases. And we did a randomized trial where the software was used by one group of physicians and the other group of physicians were using their simple paper and pencil method. And we have completed 200 patients. And we have submitted the data to the Robertson Technology for analysis. And the feedback from our physician after using this particular software was very encouraging because they were able to tell that the software was able to help them in advising the various options and what are the other diagnostic investigation they should do. And more about the thing that they were able to come to the conclusion about the patient condition much quickly as compared to the non-availability of the software. And we found that definitely it was very helpful to most of our physicians, those who are actually using this software during their evaluation.
Dr. Naidu, do you believe that this will improve the accuracy of diagnosis and also improve patient safety?
I think so, because as you are telling that most of the physicians, those who are coming out from the medical school, as in other countries, there is a continuous medical education program. We don't have that. And they may be posted in very remote places where they may not be getting regular update information. And availability of this software, which is definitely very helpful for them to diagnose the particular problem which is they are facing in absence of the various diagnostic modalities. And most important thing that the availability of the therapeutic option which the software provides is really of tremendous help for them to use a particular therapeutic option or drug or surgery. I think it is quite helpful for the physician as well as to non-physician in the remote area.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Naidu and Dr. Rao, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of House Calls for Healthcare Professionals. Thank you for joining us from Hyderabad, India. Dr. Naidu and Dr. Rao, congratulations, and we look forward to hearing more about your great work there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Joining us now is Dr. Jay Dilhart. He's an infectious disease specialist in private practice and also serves as associate professor of medicine at the College of Human Medicine at Michigan State University. Dr. Dilhart, thanks so much for appearing on our special edition of House Calls today. You are the medical director for Next Opinion and Robertson Research. Tell me a little bit about your role at the company.
I began here about a year ago, and my main role was to help with bringing the content into the program from a medical point of view, and then also to begin to think about how to make the program as user-friendly, both for healthcare workers and as we were moving forward, trying to think about how to make it accessible to less well-trained healthcare workers.
You know, it's interesting. I spoke to Dr. Naidu about physician adoption or clinical adoption in general. What's been your experience in that area?
With the more recent versions of the program, it seems to have become very intuitive for physicians and for any healthcare worker at all with any training. One of our employees has even had their family members, no healthcare experience at all, use the program, and they seem to be able to move through it quite easily.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I certainly am aware that the program was developed for both physicians and for lesser trained clinicians out in the field. But I'm wondering if there aren't also some consumer implications for this going down the road.
Well, I think so. I think that we're entering an area where people are going to have their health care information very accessible to them, and in fact, many people to manage their own health care data. And I think a program like the STEM, be able to integrate or speak in medical terminology, if you will, so that they can begin to truly interact about their health care with health care professionals. And I think this program may help that a great deal.
Now, one of the really sweet spots, I think, for this software is the fact that it is really made to be used across the world. That obviously involves many cultures, many languages, many learning styles. Tell me about what you've done to adapt to those kinds of situations.
Yes, well, we realized initially that we were going to want to be able to translate this program as easily as it was possible to do that. So we decided that we'd build it in what we called medical language instead of English per se. And so the program at every stage we can do it is very modular so that we can simply give things to translators and they can translate the language. But all the informatic links, all the information will not need to be moved at all in order for it to be moved from language to language. So we're hoping that that will be a very straightforward process to do.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today and coming to us live from Saginaw, Michigan. Pleasure to have you on the program, and Joel, I'll turn back to you now. So Dr. Naidu and Dr. Rao and Dr. DeHart are certainly all enthusiastic. Joel, let me turn back to you. You're at a significant point in history. You're rolling out these clinical trials around the world, doing a lot of work in India. Tell me about, you know, look into the crystal ball and tell me about the future for Next Opinion.
Well, you know, I think we've developed a business strategy whereby we have a significant amount of our profits that go back into a nonprofit environment. And what we're seeing are these developing countries are they're the countries that do have some money to be able to take care of the people that will never see a physician. 512 million people in India will never see a physician. We see this being able to screen patients, take care of those that don't need to see a physician, and then take them up. I think the next thing that I really believe is very quickly ready to come about, and it'll be through a partnership, is consumers.
Yeah.
Consumers are going to be able to interact with this. They'll be able to go in and say, what happens if I take this nutritional supplement? What will that do? And this is going to have a record. It's going to be able to add that. It's going to know that these are the dynamics, not only with your disease, but with your past history and with all of these things, whether this is good or bad or whatever.
And what I think is important we should stress is you do have this sort of division between not-for-profit and for-profit. And I really so much admire what you've done in making this kinds of technology available to third world nations and really working hard to see that through and get it out there.
Well, you know, when you look at our mission statements, it's to save lives through technology. And if you're going to save lives, you have to address 5,000 people, children, die an hour of preventable illnesses.
In fact, here at Microsoft, our motto in our healthcare vertical is to help people and improve health around the world. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Joel, thanks so much for joining
Bill.
Us on Health Calls today.
It.
Appreciate it. Hope you join us next time. And by the way, if people want more information, anywhere they should look?
They can log on a website, mm-hmm. Which is www.robertsontechnologies.net, and that takes it to many different realms that we have, including Next Opinion and our nonprofits.
Joel, thanks again. Really
thanks.
Appreciate it. See you next time. Until then, I'm Dr. Bill Krauts. Take care.